Hey, America, Dave Hodges here. I am the host of the Common Sense Show, and we've got Doug Thornton with us from the American Vindicta Show, growing in popularity every day. And he and I form a team called the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And we've got some, there's no shortage of topics that we're going to have to hit on. And honestly, I know we're going to leave a lot on the table, but have no fear. If we leave anything on the table, we'll come back and we'll do a follow-up shortly. Anyway, from my end, I'm coming to you from the Noble Gold Studios, and silver's going crazy. I just did a deal. I had income come in. No banks for me, buddy. And when I did a deal with Noble Gold, bought silver, putting it away because it's going to escalate in price because it's going scarce. I have no retirements in the bank. If you do, Noble Gold can get them out for you, put them under your control. So Dodd-Frank doesn't kick in and the banks don't steal your retirement. All you got to do is go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com, and I'll send you out a free information packet. You put in your email and you'll have it right away. And you'll see, oh, I see why Dave likes Noble Gold so much. That's right. 7.5 years as a customer, 8.5 years as an advertiser. And we want to hit Doug's end of it too. Are you still planning on doing the all-female training for survival?
Yeah, that's going to be at the end of September. That's going to, calling it our Lioness course. So
That's good.
it's going to be, to go back to our 90s days, rad. It's going to be cool. So what we're working on a lot this year, Dave, is preparing homeowners for violent break-in entries. That is happening. There was recently a YouTuber named Coley on the Wire over here at Dallas. And he was reviewing a recent case of a homeowner. It was actually a guy who was living with a friend of his. It was during the day. There was a break-in. The person who, the criminal who broke into the house knew the homeowner, which is, man, like 6 or 7 times out of 10, the people who break into your home, oh, you know them most of the time. Put the guy down at gunpoint, the homeowner. And so the person who was, I think he was renting a room. He woke up with his firearm, discharged it multiple times. Him and the bad guy shot at each other. They both shot each other. The girlfriend laying in the bed was shot in the back by a grazing bullet that went right past him, caught her in the back. Now it's lodged somewhere in her chest cavity, and the doctors can't get it out. He ended up losing his leg, I think from the knee down or close to the calf down because of a bullet wound. And there's a lot of things to talk about that. I don't want to, Monday morning quarterback a man who's, who just had a horrific experience, but training, training, training. Learn how to use your firearms, learn how to use them safely. So, for one thing, if you get into a deadly encounter, you have accountability of all your bullets. Secondly, so that you know how to carefully, strategically, navigate a very dangerous situation, you know tactics. And thirdly, so you don't shoot yourself or a person you weren't meaning to. These are things that happen. I would invite everyone to go to gunviolence.org, and you can look at all of the past years of mass shootings, break-ins, violent home entries, suicides, officer-involved shootings where officers were shot, suspects were shot, the mass shootings, lone wolf gunman. I mean, it has an incredible amount of information, and that's where I pull a lot of resources from. So does agencies like the FBI. And Dave, this is not going to get any it's not going to get sweeter anytime sooner. Let's just say it like that. While Trump is continuing with the immigration and the deportation, you're already seeing a lot of violence at the border, especially down here in Texas. The cartel is going crazy, and once they start to root out the MS-13s, the cartels, the terrorists that are embedded in every state, in every city because of sanctuary laws, you're going to start to have some very kinetic problems, and people are going to get involved with it.
Exactly.
And it could be one of those things that spirals us into the danger zone, man. So we're trying to get people prepared for it by giving you the basic rundown of how to use tactics properly, use your firearm safely, and have a lot of knowledge with it. And I mean, at the end of the day, cops aren't going to be there for you. The military is not going to be sitting at your door. You've got to know how to defend yourself. And for every home that is well defended with citizens who know how to use their weapons confidently, that creates a more safer America. And that's what we're pushing for.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think we have long to wait. The situation in Mexico is growing desperate. I did a mini report today, probably 11, 12 minutes in length on a video, and I just gave a brief outline. I just said a lot of people are under mistaken notion that we're going to directly invade Mexico. I don't see that being the case, Doug. What I see is us isolating Mexico, cutting off their oil, strategic occupation of Pemex, destruction of their pipeline so they can't get reinforced by Venezuela, which would clearly come to their aid. And we would do tactical strikes, Delta Force on the ground to take out cartel, major cartel facilities. But we're not going to launch a spearhead attack full-fledged over the border. We can surgically isolate them. And I think that's the way we're going to go if it ends up at that point. And what I think will trigger it, I don't think we'll be the first mover in this. I don't think a trade war will trigger this. I think it'll be the Mexicans in our country. 1 out of 10 people born in Mexico are now in the United States. And if their loyalty is to their home country, well, Katie bar the door. And did you know that 17% of our military is Hispanic? How many of those would stay loyal to the American flag, obey command and control? I don't know the answer to that, but I know that could be a potential problem to some degree. You got any
Well,
comments?
all I can speak to is the guys that I've served with, from the military and the Marine Corps, and then further on in my years of working for the government and working with guys of every race, creed, color, nationality, and from I would say the majority, nine out of 10 of those guys are very patriotic. They love their country. They're what they're doing is putting their butts on the line every single day. And I don't see them turning just because of, that would be like, well, Norway's being attacked, so I guess I'm gonna go help the fatherland. That's stupid. I'm an American. And most of those people believe it. And I've been to a more than a few naturalizations of people who have immigrated here legally and became Americans. And let me tell you something, man, I'll never forget it. I was in New Jersey when I was first stationed with DHS, and I think I was in Voorhees, New Jersey. I think it was Voorhees, and there was a immigration building there, and I got to witness the naturalization of about 10 people. And there was a lady who was in her mid-60s. She was from somewhere in South America. And man, she could tell you things about American history the most adults couldn't. She was so proud to be an American. She was crying, singing the national anthem. She's like, I am American. I have done everything that I can to be American. I want to be American. I want my family to be American. I believe in the values of America. When you start hearing stuff like that, man, I mean, not only does it tugs on your heartstrings to see these people and what they had to go through to get here, and to see the pride that they have for becoming American, because to a lot of people around the world, they still believe America is one of the last bastions of freedom. Now, there's a big, huge conversation for those of us who were born in America of if that's true or not. But to people from outside of our borders, they see America as the last hope most of the time. And so I don't see people turning against the country. What you will see, and we have seen before, is the political division. Now, to get off that topic and go back to
Well, Doug, before you go
Mexico.
down that road, I want to go back to one thing you said. You said 9 out of 10. I think it could be 98 out of 100, but a 2% attrition rate from our military to join forces against us is still a problem.
I think once those guys, and we've had military service members join the cartel.
Yes.
We've had military service members get recruited to go and train the cartel. The worst one that I can remember, I think, is the Sinaloa had a couple of special operations guys who were training them. Now, look, yeah, you serve the country, but it doesn't mean that we don't have criminals afterwards. So you always have wild cards, but we have a much higher amount of people who will stay patriotic. Not only that,
I agree.
if you
I
chose
agree.
to go and fight against America, and you've watched any of these previous wars that we've been in, like what I've been in, for a fact A hellfire missile is coming for you eventually, especially when we find out who you are and where you're at and what you're doing. And if you are a threat actor against the United States, we tend to like to come for our own first in some of these occasions. So, you know, I mean, it's one of those things that if you chose to come against the American military and you were American military, you know what to expect. And you know that there's literally nothing you can do except hide.
Yeah.
And you can't hide for long.
But Doug, explain this to me. I agree with what you're saying. And in fact, I remember the first time I hosted a radio show in a big audience in Phoenix and not in the small town where I started. And I did it for Ernie Hancock. And I was covering immigration, and the most ardent people against unrestrained illegal immigration were Mexican nationals who came here legally to become citizens. Oh, were they furious. And you're fiercely patriotic. So they make great Americans, absolutely. But if you just have that 1 to 2%, I think that's still an issue. But your point's well taken. The majority of men in service are going to stay in service. I totally agree with that. But we have the cartel here too. Now, and then you got cartel that controls small towns in Mexico. You got a Viet Cong style resistance already naturally built.
Well, I think the first problem to really address is like what we talked about last time. It's not an American serviceman going and joining the ranks of the cartel.
Mm-hmm.
Where the real problem lies is with those in control of the purse strings and those writing laws. That has been our biggest problem and seems to be the biggest friend out of Congress to the cartels.
I agree.
Because nothing's been done about it. So if we were to ever start an investigation anywhere, it would be in the halls of Congress first. And that is what needs to be rooted out. Once you start to cut the heads off the Hydra, you know, eventually you cut enough of them off and you'll get down to the main one, the main problems.
You sound like Cash
we'll
Patel.
See if that's done.
You sound like Cash Patel. And also, we also heard from a couple of others, people who are traitors to this country, not a couple, many traitors in Congress. I mean, the people going after RFK are taking millions of dollars from the from Big Pharma. I mean, talk about a conflict of interest, right?
Hey man, what's his name? George Carlin. Once again, the comedian George Carlin reigns true. We should make all congressmen wear jackets with all their sponsors and representatives, just like the NASCAR drivers, so we'll know which side they're on.
I like that.
I mean, it's true, though. It's true.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. This problem won't be fixed until outside lobbying of Congress is banned.
It needs to be banned.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, it needs to be banned. Look, understand Israel's our friend and we should be supporting Israel, but as a Christian, we should, I think, supporting it spiritually more than financially for this government. But when you have outside influence, that's influence that's outside the American people. Why are we pushing all this money to all these countries and yet still we're paying billions of dollars to Israel? I can't tell you what they're doing with it, but we're paying billions of dollars to Israel and to Egypt. And yet still here are Americans after these, you know, horrific natural disasters, and they got no homes. I mean, America has a sad track record of not taking care of Americans. There's a lot of lip service. We're going to make you rich. We're going to make you better. We're going to make you stronger. We're going to be blah, 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 blah. And still poverty is growing every single year. So it shows you they're lying. They always lie. And you can't trust a damn politician out there, because none of that money that went to Ukraine, that what we were just talking about off air, the $100 billion that are missing, that Zelensky said, oops, the $100 billion U.S. aid is missing. Yeah, that'll never come back to the American tax dollar. We'll never get a refund for that. But you know what it would do? $100 billion back to Americans would dig most likely every single American in debt out of debt. But they're not going to do it.
Yeah, well.
And that's when you look at what this country won't do for the American people, that's the clearest view of what they really are, in my opinion.
I've got a friend who was in Iraq, and he was hit an IED and he was blown out of his vehicle vertically, probably saved his life. But he's got disabilities. Fortunately, he has all his limbs. And The VA won't treat him properly. Familiar. I do think Trump is correct, will correct that. He corrected it in his first term. He did try to improve the VA. I think he left a lot on the table, but I do think we'll see some correction there. But you're absolutely right that we forget about Americans and we're in last place. But the thing is, we see with Trump now, we see positive momentum. And I wanted to ask you an opinion. I mean, I told you about this three-part series I did on social media today about how the algorithms are still at the state level, and they're going to, and I think the Democrats are going to try to win the Senate and the House in the midterm. They'll impeach Trump and Vance, install Mike Johnson, who is a classic rhino with Hillary Clinton advisors on his staff. I think this is a real possibility. So we've got to have major election reform. My question to you is, why is Trump waiting? Is he waiting for nominations to go through before he acts because he doesn't want to be too political and interfere in that process? Or how do you see this?
I don't know how to judge the wind on this anymore. It's a long shot. There's obviously people in play with other elemental sources of power that can control states, their voting, the voting machines. Me personally, I don't think we're going to lose the House or the Senate. And I say that only because of this. If Trump keeps up the first 2 weeks of being in office for the next year and a half, and Americans feel a relief, a release on taxes when, a lot of wrongs are being righted, I don't think even with the amount of tampering that they can do, I don't think that they're going to lose the House or Senate. Not to say it can't be stolen, not to say things can't be manipulated. Already right now, you have groups of the radical leftists like Antifa and others that are killing police officers. They're starting to destroy the familiar cities that they operate in. And I'm willing to bet you. Now, I don't have a magic eight ball, but I'm willing to bet you that this go around, this next 4 years, if Antifa does what they did in 2020, you are going to see a different response from Americans. I don't know what that response may look like. I'm sure plenty of people will take liberty of what they think it should be in the comment section. But if Trump allies with the American people on the true defense posture of Americans, their businesses, the schools, the streets. I mean, I believe there was a protest against ICE that shut down the highway or interstate in LA today.
Yes, I know.
So, what needs to happen is when things like that occur, there needs to be immediate response and immediate arrests, not detentions, arrests, and prosecutions to follow it swiftly. We're already seeing now that you have these left-wing judges who are coming out of the woodwork and they're trying to do anything to stop any of the projects that this administration has going on. So that's going to be a thorn in the side until that's fixed, and it probably won't get fixed. We're probably going to continuously have this issue. It has to go up to the Supreme Court and then come back down for a ruling. But yeah, Mike Johnson, I'm not the biggest fan of. I don't think very many people are. I would love to see a new Speaker of the House get installed. The problem is I don't have faith in any single one of them. So I guess it's kind of irrelevant when you ask my opinion on that because I don't trust any of them. And I mean, Mike Johnson clearly showed us we can't trust you. So ergo, can we trust the next one? And, will that depend on if we're in war? Or we have some sort of a major tariff war in the next 2 years, and we start to see the squeeze on home appliances, stuff like toilet paper. Again, most of your toilet paper comes from Canada, the place that we're tariffing a lot right now. I mean, they were booing the US versus Canada hockey game, I think tonight or last night. So, eventually, Trump has to, with his extreme measures, bring people to the table. I understand the whole plan of his, but I don't know, man. I think that he either needs to strong arm everyone and not get off of that strong arm, or deals need to start getting made so that we can go back to a place of normalcy. We have not seen yet the true spike in, home appliances and the things you regularly use for houses. But from what I'm reading in projections, that may be coming within a month or two if the tariffs don't relieve. So I don't know. I think it comes down to, will the American people back Donald Trump? Will the American people, and look at how many from the left woke up and voted for Trump this time. I could see a lot of governors being replaced, lieutenant governors being replaced. I could see a lot of congressmen being replaced. I just hope we get the right people. Once again, I'm questionable on that, into their place. That's what we truly need. We need people
The
who want
tariffs,
America.
the tariffs are concerning. I think Trump is using it as leverage. I think Canada's willing to call his bluff. America will win a war of attrition with Canada, not that we won't suffer. Same with Mexico. Okay, China is already in deep trouble. They really can't afford this. They're collapsing economically as we speak. Banks are failing. Will Trump follow through? And are we strong enough as a people to endure some of the hardships that are going to come with tariffs? Canada will bend. And I will tell you this, I used to laugh at this. I'm not laughing more. This could end up with Canada becoming the 51st state, at least some of Canada. And I've got it on good authority, Doug. I'll tell you off air because I'm not allowed to betray the confidence. But I'm telling you, four provinces are in play right now in Canada. Will the whole thing come over? I don't ever see Quebec doing it, but I think the other ones are vulnerable. I really do.
Alberta's talked about it many times.
British Columbia is probably a no because of the Communist Chinese Party influence there. And here's the other thing. If we did have conflict with Mexico, China is going to be involved. They will send troops. They already have sent troops across our border. And here's one thing you don't hear about. You hear about MS-13. You hear about TDA. You hear about these other gangs, but we have pictures and videos. I've run it on my website, on my social media. Clearly, Chinese military people crossing our border, being interdicted, and some of them had papers. What illegal immigrants have papers? Because China sent them here. Why aren't we rooting them out? Why aren't we hearing about this? You have any thoughts on that?
Yes and no. I mean, they're just my opinions, but me personally, I want to see a lot more proof of Chinese troops come across the border than just Hal Turner put it on his website.
Well, I had it on mine with real photos and videos. And I've
Oh,
got
no.
Border Patrol. Doug, I was at Take Our Border Back conference. I talked to Border Patrol who interdicted these Chinese. This is not made up stuff.
I'm not making it up, and I have been right there on the border, and we have been right there detaining people from China. We've done it before. Did it in California. I think the issue right now is the Biden era immigrants that are on the docket, people that I don't know. I would say that if you have Chinese and Russian troops here, and they immigrated here, they snuck in, that we probably don't know where they are. And I would tell you that we could probably find quite a bit of them at 17 or 18 of these very large industrialized farms that are all right next to US Air Force bases. But outside of that, someone is protecting them. Someone aligned themselves with someone in US Congress to help get them in here. And that is George Soros, the Clintons, the Bidens, the Obamas, the Pelosis, all the usual suspects are part of that issue of why we have foreign troops in this nation right now. We have no idea who they are. We have no idea where they are. We have no idea what their capabilities are. But if we snuck in 100,000 US veterans into China, China would declare war on us. They would declare that they've been invaded by foreign troops, that there is a surprise sneak attack waiting to happen, and they would retaliate immediately. I don't know how that would look, but they would retaliate immediately. We don't do it because I have no idea why, except Christopher Ray, Fast and Furious, the, can't trust the CIA, can't trust the NSA, can't trust the Pentagon, can't trust the White House, can't trust the FBI. I think the one of the issues here is it is such a multifaceted problem involving so many agencies, so many deep state cover-up agents that are out there, that you're probably not going to find these people. I mean, that's my opinion, is probably not going to find them. Those who have come here from all other countries, though, and we're finding all of those, we're arresting all those, that is kind of suspect. Because we know for a fact China imported what? In, I think, 1 month, they recorded like 10,000. Me and Jamie Walden were talking about this because there's a dude on the border that we know. Here in Texas, they reported 10,000 in 1 month, 10,000 people from China in 1 month. You can't find them. What happened at the gap that was just closed, the Darien Gap? We know those people went northward. We know they went into this country. We know from what we can see on video, 90% or more are males of a military age.
Yes.
So where are they? Why is it that we can find anyone who's Hispanic? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not there. But in my plausibility here, I would just say we're going after the lowest hanging fruit
I
first.
would agree with that. And you're exactly right. Comparing Chinese soldiers to TDA, you're right. The low hanging fruits, the TDA, as dangerous as they are, you're absolutely right.
Well, can I make a statement? I'll make a statement to back up both what me and you were saying. From the violent gangs from Haiti, to the violent gangs that are in Mexico, Central America, South America, or terrorists that are from the Middle East, they, for the most part, are very boisterous about what they say and what they do, and they're involved in criminal activity here already. The Chinese get here and they immediately are hidden and integrate. So ergo, the lowest hanging fruit, the loudest bell is going to get silenced first. And then hopefully eventually we get to what may be one of the real true major threats. Because I have no idea. All I can tell you is whatever came across the southern border, the northern border is even more easily accessible. And we know that Canada was definitely a friend to China. And we know that they were on Vancouver Island. We know that they were in the western part of the Yukon Territory at some part. So where did they go? And if they made entry into the US, where the hell did they go? How did we not see them? I mean, can somebody from Washington State, Montana, Idaho, North Dakota, did you just randomly have a huge population of Chinese people just show up at your door one day? Is that being reported? Was it ever reported? I don't know, Dave, but I know that they're here. I just don't know where they are.
I need to tell you something that indicates they're here and they're being supplied. Fox News 10 in Phoenix ran this story, and I duplicated it on my social media and did a related report with it. They scrubbed that story. Fortunately, I had someone download it to a point where I captured it. I still have it. And what the report said was, based on a tip, thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of AK-47 ammunition in one bust near Cochise County on the border, and another bust for 50 caliber machine gun bullets. Tens of thousands of those were found in a vehicle in Eloy. Eloy's halfway between Tucson and Phoenix. And what's interesting about that, this is shipment of ammunition from the border into the interior of this country. It's going somewhere, Doug. And for a purpose.
Well, so, back in the day, with border operations, it used to be that Money went south, guns and ammunition went south, and people and narcotics traveled north. So now the report right before I got out was guns and ammunition are coming from Mexico and going north along with the people and the narcotics. So someone is being funded, someone's being supplied. Here's I guess we can jump into this rabbit hole. We have no idea what these major billionaire corporations have going on at any of their facilities.
Yeah, I think the
But I will
NGOs,
tell you,
NGOs though, don't you agree?
I'll tell you my personal experience from what I saw on the border. We were transporting people from the line, which is the Mexican-American border line. We would detain them, process them, and then we would ship them off to either soft side facilities or to NGOs. The major NGO that we would ship them to was in an industrial park, and that was Red Cross. It was in a million square foot building. I personally went into the building to go and talk to the director of operations there one day because there was a big fight that happened on the outside. I had to go, get the guy's information for contact purpose. Anyways, when I walked in, there was thousands of cots. Thousands of cots. And I asked the guy, I said, "Man, how many people can you hold in this building?" He said, "Well, we're able to hold about 7,000 people in this building alone." That's one building in an industrial park. So how many of these massive warehouses are holding people? It's an unknown amount, but they're doing it. That's the number one thing.
I totally agree with you. I want to show you something, Doug, to backtrack for a second. And to our audience on audio, you won't be able to see it. I'll have to describe it. I'm assuming you can see that, okay, Doug? Okay. It's one of the photos that I have displayed. And to describe for the people that can't see this, we have Border Patrol right here where my mouse is checking paperwork of an illegal alien, Chinese male, crossing. These are all military-age people. Look how fit they are. You
I
don't
was about to
see.
say, not a belly over the belt.
That's exactly right. And look, we've got one guy standing parade at rest, another guy standing parade at rest, another guy. You look at this, he's standing almost at attention. We're going down the line here for people that can't see this. These are clearly military characteristics. Doug, I grew up on military bases. I saw this all my young life. I know what this looks like. And these are clearly soldiers. And they have their backpack set down off the side of their left foot, directly in front, all the way down the line. And they're lined up in pretty straight lines. And when you see illegal immigrants, the migrants who are civilians, they're like a horde. They're just here, there, and everywhere. And these guys are lined up with military precision. I look at this, there's no way that these aren't Chinese soldiers coming into our country with paperwork. That's what's amazing.
Look how clean they all are.
I know, it was absolutely amazing. Well, I clicked that off, but to the people that couldn't see that, I have videos of this. I have other photos of this. I've ran this. And then again, I'm telling you, when I was speaking at Take Our Border Back, I'm talking to Border Patrol people that encountered these. And they estimated 10,000 a month were crossing. And this was last June when I was being told this.
So where are
You
they?
got ammunition
Why are they
coming.
doing?
Tell me that I'm paranoid when I say this ammunition coming in is landing in the laps of people like this or some other terrorist group.
It was Senator Kennedy, I believe, that was out of Louisiana, who was recently talking with Kash Patel. And he said, right now the American people are betting 30-1 on conspiracies. They're all coming true. So, we Americans are not stupid, for the majority of us, I think. But we see what's going on. The average capable American understands what has been happening, and everyone's looking to someone to do something about it. I hope Tom Homan does something about it. I believe Tom Homan has gone down to the Darien Gap, and he is talking to that former Army Special Forces guy who's down there all the time. And they talked about the Chinese immigrants coming over. So I know it'll be addressed, but once again, I think they're going after the lowest hanging fruit, those who are causing the most problems. And, you know, there's already been two border, or excuse me, two Customs and Border Patrol operations, not Customs and Border Patrol, ICE operations that were leaked to the public. One was in Chicago, one was in a city in Colorado, which he is not very happy about. And I would not want to be on that guy's bad side. I've met Tom Homan many years ago in San Antonio. He is a intense, very intense guy. I really liked him when I met him. We had a random 45-minute conversation about how much he hated Congress, and how he, after everything was ominous, dominus, and he left, he cussed most of them out for being traitors and cowards. So now this man is in a form of serious power, as the borders are, and I don't think he's going to forget it. I think it'll be addressed, but maybe it's one of those things where this is a preemptive move to get the biggest aggressor out of the way, so that when we start rooting out all the other people that are here, that are, what appears to be military age males, that'll be a big thumb in the eye to China. I mean, that's interesting. Could you imagine? Let's just say we caught 50,000 Chinese military age males. What type of questions Donald Trump would have for President Xi? That'd be a very interesting conversation. I'd love to be a fly on the wall for that conversation. But knowing Trump, he would address it immediately to the American public first. And I don't know, man. I don't know where it could go,
I wouldn't
but
do that,
maybe
Doug.
it's a feather in the hat.
I wouldn't tell the American people first. I'd put them in Gitmo and tell Xi, how do you want to handle this? It's really good leverage. So
Well, Gitmo is about to get filled already.
I know. And they only got 30,000 beds, and they got more than 30,000 people to put there. So I hear what you're saying. The thing that I look at, though, that I really worry about is this. Trump is going to have to eradicate the cartels in Mexico. He's not going to get all of them, but he can go to the major distribution centers for fentanyl. We know where they're at. We monitor their communications, and he's going to have to do it. But the backside of that, Doug, is going to be the massive terrorists that are already here and what's going to happen.
Well, I mean, we talked about this last time. I am in full support of invading Mexico. I do not care.
And you're
And
talking about
if,
full military operation and occupation?
yeah, and then bulldozing 50 miles into Mexico and creating a DMZ. I mean, if you're going to do something, do it right.
Well,
Be
how the
done with it.
hookers in
I do
Tijuana are
not
going to make a
care.
living if you do that?
No, yeah. Once again, you're not going to find sympathy from me. I
Yeah.
would be one of the. They think Kash Patel was a problem. I would be a definite problem
Well,
if I was ever put in any of
Doug, I'm
those
saying that
positions.
tongue in cheek. But it's interesting to create a DMZ. I will tell you this, as I started to allude to earlier in the program when I was creating my scenario for the invasion of Mexico, if we did full-on invasion, you got a lot of these small towns that are cartel inundated, and you'd find the cartel siding with each other, with the Mexican military, the federales. They'd forget their differences, and these small towns would form a Viet Cong kind of resistance that's already embedded and well armed. It would be one hell of a task to take some of these, and some of these cartel people would flee to the mountains in the Sierra Madres, and that would be hard to root them out too. I mean, militarily, there's a lot of logistical issues, don't you agree?
I think people grossly underestimate what we can do. I mean, there's been a lot of conversations that our tier one forces, when you talk about guys like CAG, Delta, those guys would be a holy terror unleashed upon the cartel. Yeah, the cartel's got a lot of guys, but they don't have a lot of warriors. Yeah, they've got a lot of money. Well, we can stop that money really quickly. But if you want to put the American military versus the cartel, we win every single time. And they know it too. And you could see the cartel most likely digging in and burying their guns and saying, oh, I'm just a poor farmer, or they would be invading. south into Mexico City, trying to find some sort of relief. There is no way Mexico could ever put up any type of true defense if we decided to bring the might of the American military upon them. There is
I
nothing
agree.
they could do.
And the vulnerability that they have, Pemex, they need Pemex to run their country, and we could seize Pemex in a day, and we could
Yeah,
destroy the points.
there's a lot of very strategic things that we could do that hopefully can be without bloodshed. But you're talking about the Mexican cartel. There is guaranteed bloodshed. It's happening with their people right now.
I know.
I'd be willing to bet that the Mexican people would side with us of getting rid of the cartel. The issue will be is can you get rid of the ideology that is the cartel? That becomes an issue now. And I would hate to say that I think it would become a permanent police state.
50 years of embedded ideology. You're correct. You know what people forget about was the murder of DEA agent Kiki Camarico. And if they were bold enough to do that, what won't they do? And see, then you wonder about political assassinations. And Doug, I'm not necessarily talking about Trump, but I'd be talking about a governor, a mayor, a state legislator who's outspoken. I could see assassinations on this side of the border carried out by the cartel.
There's certain areas in South Texas that you go and you talk to certain people about the Texas Rangers, and it still brings back nightmares. I'm telling you, there is a certain effect that happens upon people when you turn good men loose upon wickedness, and they don't want to see that ever again. And, I would dare say some of the newest things that has been released, I think it today. I mean, it's 11 o'clock still. So, Kristi Noem's down there on the Texas border right now. But the cartel said that they are granting their cartel compatriots the ability to fire upon federal police officers, police officers, and also use suicide drones in effect against American military and law enforcement. One drone strike, one death of one federal officer or U.S. citizen from an actual terror attack, you will see a complete opposite response that this administration has right now. And it's blood in the water already. And the American military are nothing more than sharks that are held back on leashes made of freaking, dental floss. They don't want that released on them. And here's the thing. The cartel would be absolutely foolish to do that because they haven't done it really that much in the past. They're a Fortune 500 company. They make billions and billions of dollars by selling us narcotics, and all the other trafficking that they do. And they've been doing it for the most part under the radar in ways of not being caught. Why would you want to start a war with a country that you cannot win that war with, and China and Russia cannot get here quick enough to help you? So I always, Jen Psaki, circle back, like you like to do last time, and talk about what is going to be the major thing that happens to the U.S. that allows the cartel to be so bold in their actions that they really feel like they could attack us and there'd be no repercussions from it. What would that one event be?
You'd have to have a regime change in the White House because that Trump would never put up with that.
I don't think the Biden administration could have put up with it. I mean, as much as I don't like them, and I think we can all agree that that was a horrific last 4 years, if you saw the cartel invading and killing people, it would require a response from the Pentagon. Now we've got a completely different kind of Pentagon, hopefully, and a completely different type of White House administration, with a completely different type of mentality towards them. But the American people would cry for blood, and if the government's not going to do it, they'll do it. And the American people have proven it many times. They'll take actions into their own hands if needed, especially the governors. So I think it you got to float around to an even bigger conspiracy. What could possibly happen to this country that would allow these people to be so bold to attack us. The only thing I can think of is a grid down. And that's already being discussed. Supposedly, Trump administration is working on hardening the grid. That is a very good thing to hear. But you have more people who want to attack the grid than we have people wanting to harden the grid right now. And that is our Achilles heel. It needs to be talked about. It needs to be stressed, and it needs to be fixed. Just imagining us not having power. The power going out is the number one thing that I think about every single week. What would I do? What would we do? And what would happen? And how could we repel an assault from an enemy if we have no power, no communication, no internet, no cell phones? What won't work? When will the generators run out of diesel and gasoline to power the radar stations? I mean, we are such a big target. And we have so much target availability when it comes to our infrastructure.
Uh-huh.
If you could cripple us, I mean, here's the thing, though. You cripple the U.S. infrastructure, you have two options. Sit back and wait and see what they do and how they fix it and work on the next operation, or you strike immediately. Strike while the iron's hot. China's not ready for that, and Russia, I don't think, would do that.
Russia's going to gravitate towards Putin. I'm absolutely convinced of it. I mean, things can happen, but I think that's the direction. But with regard to China, I don't think they have the ability to do it any longer, other than what they're doing now, fentanyl delivery and so forth, arming the cartels. But it's almost like they're military advisors now. It's not an occupation force. The other thing, too, that I think is really interesting to look at is, and I wanted to say this, Doug, and you're going to chuckle and you're going to think it's trivial, but I don't think it is. I was looking at products that will be affected by the Canadian retaliation with their tariffs towards America. And guess what we won't be getting? Toilet paper. You heard? Oh, yeah, yep. You got that. Okay, yeah. All right. Yep. You remember that was the big scare in COVID. And
I remember watching two 60-plus-year-old women in Walmart here in Weatherford, Texas, cowboy capital of America, get into a fist fight over the last like 18 pack of Charmin. And I'm sitting over here with baby wipes and diapers and, you know, all that, going like, this is crazy. It's hilarious to watch for right now, because I'm sadistic like that, I guess. But I'm just sitting there going like, this is toilet paper. Wait till it's water. Wait till it's food. And we're tearing each other's throats out over toilet paper. I mean, my God, when the power goes out, what will you people really do to each other?
Are you advising people to stock up now that those retaliatory tariffs?
I don't advise people anything. All I can tell you is what I do.
Okay.
And I'm
tell
very
us what
well
you
prepared
do.
For that.
Pardon me?
I am very well prepared for any of those options.
All right.
Never stop prepping. That's, to me, it's foolish. Never stop prepping. Don't think that you've got a cushion, you've got enough, I can relax. Don't think like that. Also, don't be a freakazoid and spend all your money on, you know, 25-year shelf life food. But you've got to take into consideration the reality of where we're at. It's unstable times. You have unstable people in charge of unstable nations that have literal terrorism as like the motto for their nation, Iran, and they are more than willing to knock out our power. Russia has been talking about it since the Cold War with the Spetsnaz. China's been talking about that and then releasing a bioagent. Believe these people. Believe their threats and act wisely upon it. If the U.S. government is every single month buying out hundreds of thousands of dollars of supplies, to include food and toilet paper and beans, bullets, and band-aids, and they're stockpiling it underground, it's probably not for us. And if they're doing it, you should do it.
Okay. You answered my question. Thank you. You started out evasive and gave the most direct answer of the night. but I agree with you. Well, yeah, I'm telling my wife in the morning, honey, you know, I know it sounds crazy. We've been down this road before, but extra toilet paper wouldn't be a bad idea. And we do have our 25-year storable food, and we got a lot of life left on it. So anyway, people do need to get ready. One of the things that people need to do is the banks are going to go down internationally. It's starting in China. It's beginning to happen in Europe. It's going to happen here. And people need to get their retirements out of the bank. They need to get as much money out of the bank, diversify into precious metals. Let's put it this way. The terrorists that think they run this planet, the global elite, as we call them, they aren't going to give up, Doug. I think they'd rather destroy the planet than lose it. Don't you agree?
Well, I mean, these are workers of iniquity. I mean, their father is Satan.
Yes.
So they're drastically opposed to supporting human life. They want slavery of the world. They want their cake and they want to eat it too. I mean, it's what I call our politicians. They all think that they're princes and princesses of America. They are not us, we are not them. Don't think like them. Don't think that they're on our sides. I mean, if a meteor was going to hit the next 24 hours, who gets to go underground?
It ain't
Not the
us.
non-essential.
It's not us. You want to quote George Carlin? We ain't in the club. It won't be us. You're absolutely right. Okay, well, we got a few minutes left, and I want to make sure we get everything in that we need to. One, just a quick question. Don't have time for much elaboration. Does Trump's nominees get through?
I think most of them will. I think so far the main ones have. Did
RFK
Cash
is the other
Patel
one out
get
too.
did he get through?
Don't know yet. Tulsi came out of committee. She passed out of committee. But I think it's a real iffy thing. Now, Trump can wait for a recess and make recess appointments that are good for 2 years. And I predict that's what he'll do. Okay, Doug, we covered a lot of territory here, and it's good. The border still dominates the thinking. But people are going to want to follow you and hear more of what you have to say. So tell people how they can do that.
American Vindicta Show is on YouTube. We're also on Rumble. We also have a Patreon. Our training company, Vindicta Solutions. We are at vindictasolutions.com. If you want training, and you want a good group of guys to do it with, come check out what we do. You can also go to our YouTube channel and you can actually see what kind of training that we put on. You can see what we're teaching. It's very common sense, very basic, but we make it pretty intense and people love it. So
I'm surprised
that's me in a nutshell.
let you do that.
Well, the good
I really
Lord's on
am.
my
I'm
side.
shocked. I'm shocked. By the way, just a quick note, we don't have time to elaborate. Don't believe a damn thing coming out of the release of the CIA files. They've had 60 years to doctor them, and they're now saying
Oh, yeah.
LBJ was the planner of the Kennedy assassination. I debunked that 2 days ago. He didn't have the reach to do the coordinated effort it took to take out Kennedy and then cover it up. His mission was to appoint the Warren Commission and to get us into Vietnam. That was his mission. And they had a meeting at Clint Murchison, oil man to the Rockefellers, 2 days before the assassination, and that's well documented. Anyway, you can follow me at thecommonsenseshow.com. Sign up for our newsletter, which sums up everything we do in a 24-hour period. And we have thecommonsenseshow.tv. And what do you get there? Well, we have a new series called Hips, Hiding in Plain Sight. And we look at things like hidden history, mysteries of the mind, repressed technology. And we're going to jump into that more in February than we have before. We're going to get that more attention. And that also goes along with what we do with our geopolitics and our interviews like this. That's the commonsenseshow.tv. Hope you'll sign up. Doug, thanks so much for coming on. We're going to have to do this again as events warrant. We don't so much have a regular schedule, people. We kind of react to what's going on. And then we say, okay, it's time to do a show on this. So, Doug, thanks again, and we'll see everybody back here again next time. God bless.